The warnings about potentially serious flooding began early. National Weather Service forecaster Gary McDevitt issued a flood outlook on February 28, 1997.
We're looking at all the locations on the main stem of the Red River of the North exceeding flood of record. That's very serious.
By mid-March, nearly 10 feet of snow had fallen across the Red River Valley. National Weather Service forecaster Lou Bennett warned local officials this flood would be like nothing they had seen before.
If we get liquid precipitation of any significance, as we have in past years, and inch and a half, 2 inch, all bets are off. It's going to be a bad situation as it is, made almost unmanageable if we get significant rainfall.
Significant precipitation arrived April 6th when a late winter storm dumped several inches of rain and snow on the entire Red River Valley. Over the next 2 weeks, Breckenridge was inundated twice. Ada was swamped. The people of Fargo-Moorhead frantically raised dikes and, with a bit of luck, held the river at bay. But there was to be no such luck for Grand Forks and East Grand Forks. In the third week of April, the National Weather Service flood forecast rose faster than dikes could be raised, and on April 18th, the communities went under. Blame for the disaster was first cast on the National Weather Service within days, when an angry East Grand Forks Mayor Lynn Stouse spoke to evacuated residents in Bemidji.
They not only missed it, they blew it big.
A year later, Stouse is still angry. Angry the city worked so long and hard to prepare based on what turned out to be inaccurate information.
Never in the history of the town had we prepared more to take care of a flood situation like this. I think the city did its job, and I'm very proud of what the community, the people who responded to go out and sandbag and to make sure that we did have our levee system high enough.
Yeah, we took a lot of heat. We're going to take heat. We understand that.
National Weather Service forecaster Jim Bellis says he understands the anger, but he's convinced the Weather Service did the best it could in an unprecedented situation. There will be changes because of the flood of 97. Forecasting models will be updated. Last year's water flow went off the charts, and existing computer models could not effectively predict what would happen. But Bellis says forecasters can't change the way they forecast floods.
I can't sit down and say, well, if I think it's going to be 50 feet in Grand Forks, well, I'm just going to add 2 feet just because, gosh, you know, it's been an awful tough road for that community. We can't do that because that may mean that additional money has to be spent in the community to build dikes higher just because I'm trying to be conservative.
Miles of temporary clay dikes were built and about 8 million sandbags were used in the Red River Valley. East Grand Forks engineer Gary Sanders says there will never be another sandbag dike in his city if he can help it.
I said this after 79, no more sandbags. I hate them. I still do. And yet we did millions again, you know, and you lose every time.
Like many, Gary Sanders favors a diversion ditch for future flood protection, but he realizes economic reality means the city will instead need to depend on higher dikes for protection in the future. In the wake of the flood of 97, some contend communities should not depend on protection from emergency dikes built while the water is rising. Tim Birchie says that's wishful thinking. Birchie oversees operations for the Army Corps of Engineers in the Red River Valley. He says emergency dikes are the only way to protect some areas unless communities move away from the river. The Corps spent $10 million building emergency dikes last spring. Estimates are those emergency dikes prevented $60 million in damage to communities in the valley. Birchie says last year's historic event was an unprecedented opportunity to improve flood-fighting techniques.
If we were faced with the same conditions we had last year, if we were faced with those conditions right now, we'd be in better shape than we were last year, all the way up and down the valley, because of what's in place, because of what we've learned.
Birchie says in the desperate attempt to hold off the river, better ways to build stronger dikes were discovered, and communication between local, state, and federal agencies became much more efficient. As damage was assessed in the wake of the flood, the importance of the federal flood insurance program became clear. But troubling questions remain about why thousands of people did not have flood insurance.
A public safety message from FEMA. Federal disaster assistance after a flood can help you get back on your feet, but it won't take care of everything. That's why you need flood insurance.
In early 1997, radio and TV stations ran ads for weeks urging people to buy flood insurance.
Remember, it's not if it will flood again, but when.
The campaign encouraged several thousand people to buy insurance, but in the end, only about 10% of people who were flooded used the program. Spence Perry directs the Federal Insurance Administration.
And we practically begged people to buy flood insurance. We basically said, the train is coming. You are on the track. Please do something to help get yourself off.
Perry says he's not sure why, despite all the warnings of record flooding, people did not buy insurance. In some cases, insurance agents told people they would not need flood insurance. Perry says agents will be better educated. He also thinks people will take the message more seriously if future ads feature local politicians, not a professional voice. One of the most visible agencies in the flood was the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA. It's charged with responding to disasters, and local officials say the response was remarkable. Still, FEMA is looking at the Red River Valley flood as a long-term learning experience. Steve Olson is director of the FEMA regional office in Denver. He says the buyout of flood-damaged homes in Fargo-Moorhead, Grand Forks, and East Grand Forks has moved at record speed, and that experience will help other communities in the future. Olson says the response in Grand Forks and East Grand Forks may also be a model for the federal government's new approach to disasters.
Rather than continue to put money into repetitive funding like we have, we would like to see us look to mitigate more in the future. And what mitigate really means is an action to lessen the impact of disasters on lives, property, and overall taxpayer cost.
Olson says moving hundreds of homes out of low-lying neighborhoods and building a new levee system should mean FEMA won't ever need to bring its flood disaster teams to Grand Forks again. That's the outcome East Grand Forks engineer Gary Sanders is hoping for. He says it will be best if the lessons learned in the flood of 97 are never needed. But if record flooding happens again in his career, he's very clear what he will do differently. People's personal lives will take precedence over saving the community.
Where do you tell people to get out? You know, we didn't do it soon enough, but we were all fighting the flood. Very few people were taking care of their own things. And maybe we take care of ourselves and then we do community. Hopefully we don't have to go through that part again, but the personal loss to people is pretty amazing. That personal loss of all these people's lifetimes is something that's really pretty unacceptable.
Sanders says the flood of 97 profoundly affected the lives of tens of thousands of people. He says to make sure the devastation is never repeated, it must never be forgotten. I'm Dan Gunderson, Minnesota Public Radio.